Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA. And today is January the 24th, 2019. It is a Thursday, and we have a live show for you today. My man, Pastor Keith, is not in studio, but is on the line, so he's co-hosting with us. And so let me see if I can unmute him so see what kind of background noise. Keith, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly well. Okay.
Outstanding.
Well, Keith, what I'm going to do is that if you can mute your phone, but in any time that you want to jump in, you can unmute your phone and then come in so we won't have the background noise.
Okay, that'll work.
Okay. All so, right. Keith is... One second. One second, you all. Sorry about that. Okay. So we have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, just give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for you to do that. Very, very, very important show. So we're going to get right into it. Hold on one second. We're going to get right into... Right in, we're going to get right into today's very important show here on Thursday, the 24th of January, 2019. New this year was going to be quite an eventful one. So, but before we do that, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the shows and all of the shows that are linked to Black Talk Radio Network. And you can do that by going to and donating at the homepage for Black Talk Radio Network at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Very important, because if we don't do that, then this network won't be here. We have to feed the roots. If you are partaking of Black Talk Radio Network and the shows that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, then it is really upon you to actually feed what you're consuming. Give nourishment to what you're consuming so there can be an evenly yoked exchange. You get, and the overall source of giving to you is a full cycle, which is a healthy cycle, and one of the cycles that we actually break in our lives. We've actually been taught in civilization to take, and have a sense of entitlement for that. And so, but there is a price, and we haven't been taught to see the price that we pay for not actually being in a more holistic, sincere relationship. But believe me, it is a price, and it is one that brings a lot of misery, pain, suffering, and unnecessary disenfranchisement. So come on, y'all, let's support this network. Please give a donation to the network so it can stay on air. Also, you can support the network by being a part of the social media platform known as BTR Community for only $24 a year. Go to www.btrcommunity.com, sign up for $24 a year, set up your profile inside of the social media platform, post there. You can post things about you, your business, things that you think are relevant, and just engage in that overall social media platform with BTR Community, because the only place that I post, and it's very important going forward that you are actually going to be able to do that in a more holistic, sincere way. FedBook is not free, and I call FedBook Facebook. Facebook, you actually pay for Facebook. You may not think that you do, but you do, and the cost is far beyond what is its return. They take, they don't give. Okay, so check that out. Today's very important show. We have a very, very important show today. And today's show is The Vice Factor. The Vice Factor, a U.S. death trap. The Vice Factor. And the Vice Factor is Venezuela, Iran, China, Eurasia. And I'm saying Eurasia because that encompasses Russia. And I actually extended, even though it's not classified that, but I'm extending Germany and France inside of that overall, the Eurasia, and Syria. And that acronym is VICE, the VICE Factor, a U.S. death trap. That is definitely going on, and it is something that you need to be well aware of and to be ready to respond to in an appropriate way. Very, very, very important. So with that being said, let's get into what's in the news. First article from what's in the news, and I post this from University of Cornell, the law department, and it says this is the legal information department of Cornell University. It is Section 18, U.S. Code 18, U.S. Code 2385, advocating the overthrow of government. And that's, I put that there because that is actually what's happening here in the States, and it's actually illegal what's being done. The many celebrity figureheads from many of them have done it. Obama did it and was violation of it. The overall current administration is doing it, and they're in violation of this. And we'll take a look at that as we go forward in today's show. Very, very, very important. Next article. This one comes from Sputnik News, and this is going to be a lot of what we carry for today. The things to know about Venezuela opposition leader recognized by the U.S. president. Excuse me. Things to know about Venezuela's opposition leader recognized as president by the U.S. Celebrity figurehead Donald Trump has announced that Washington recognizes Juan Guaido as the rightful head of Venezuela in a move that has been fiercely blasted by the current president, celebrity figurehead president Nicolas Maduro, as a coup attempt. And that's exactly what that is. And Guaido is not the overall president of Venezuela. And this is, by doing this, this is invoking a coup attempt. And the administration and the U.S. government is now firmly behind that, well as other governments are behind that as well. And we need to look at that and what that means. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Let me ask you, how can he be the president and he didn't even run for president? There were three people that ran for president, but two others besides Maduro. Maduro won 70% of the vote. The UN verified that the vote was free and fair. They were saying these things about it when Chavez was in power. And I remember Jimmy Carter had went there because he's part, I don't know if he still does it because he's old, real old now, but he was part of the International Observers of Elections. And I believe we may have discussed this on Tando in the past, how you had to, you know, when you go to vote, they scan your fingerprint to make sure that you, that's how you register to vote. They take your fingerprint. Then when you vote, they give you a printout of your vote. All things that don't happen here. Okay. So
all things that don't happen here. Right.
Right. So this guy, the so-called opposition leader, what, didn't even run for president. So how the hell can, you know what I'm saying?
It makes no sense. Scotty, it's bad. It's bad. And we need to really discuss this because this is really, really, and this is why I say the vice factor is a death trap for the U.S. Scotty's absolutely right. And we need to take a look at that. And we will today. And if you'd like to get in on that conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 will be the call-in number for you to engage in that very, very necessary and know what's really going on. And so next article from Sputnik News as well. This one, here it goes. How U.S.-Venezuela escalation unfolded from sanctions to backing an anti-Maduro coup. Check out that article. Very important. Next article, and this was an older article. We posted this earlier last year. And this was from Newsmax. U.S. officials meet Venezuelan officers to discuss a coup bid. Yeah. We're going to take it. This is all illegal. This is all. And it says officials from the president, from President Donald Trump's administration met secretly with Venezuelan military officers to discuss plans to oust President Maduro, but eventually decided not to help. The New York Times reported Saturday Trump has been a harsh critic of Maduro's leftist regime as Venezuela spirals down into a grave economic and humanitarian crisis that sparked a violent protest and prompted a wave of immigration into nearby countries. So they met to discuss a coup, which is a conspiracy and is against the law. They all should be brought to trial for that. And found guilty, received the overall required and necessary punishment for it. Next article from Fox News, lying like a Fox News. Venezuela Maduro says he's cutting off relations with the U.S. Here's where it's going to get ugly. On Tuesday, we posted where celebrity figurehead Pence was calling for the removal of Maduro in Venezuela. And then now, Venezuelan President Maduro on Wednesday, yesterday, said he's cutting off relationships with the United States, giving U.S. American diplomats 72 hours to exit the country. The socialist leader ordered a review of Venezuelan relationships with the U.S. hours after Trump's administration had recognized the opposition leader as the national interim president. So what did Maduro do? He severed ties. He severed political ties with the United States and said all of the diplomats have to get out in 72 hours. And what did the U.S. say? No. Here we go. Next article from New York Times. Tens of thousands in Venezuela join protests against Maduro. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Venezuelan divide. Turkey, Russia, China stands against Washington. It's Latin America, and with it's a Latin American allies. It's going to get bad. We're going to take a look at that as well. Next article from South China Morning Post: U.S. White House prepares, White House prepares Trump's executive order restricting China telecom firms. Check out that order. Next article from CNBC: Most Americans don't have a savings to cover a $1,000 emergency. Very important for going forward. Next article from All But Criminal News. Excuse me, one second. Next article from All But Criminal News, ABC News, referred to. What worries U.S. intelligence officials, Russia and China, and Western isolism. Very important, and this is definitely going to expand and happen. Next article from Sovereign Man, get ready, they're coming for your money. Next article from Press TV. The celebrity figurehead, Secretary of State, Pompeo, U.S. to remain in Syria until Daesh is defeated. Knew they weren't going to leave Syria. That was all a political ploy and propaganda for what was happening. We said that this was going to happen, and this would be an announcement, and it's going to expand even further. This war is really going to start to ratchet up huge. Next article from CNBC News. Criminals, nothing but criminals. Government debt caps. Excuse me. Government debt cap hit $66 trillion. 80% of global GDP, Fitch said. Not GDP of the United States. This is why the overall numbers, and we've been saying that the overall U.S. debt is far, far beyond the 21 or 22 that they're actually reporting. I say it's seven times that. But here alone, it's three and a half times what they say it is now, because it's at $66 trillion. It's 80% of the global GDP. You can't sustain this, folks. And this is what you need to do and have the proper preparations for. Go to Prosperity Mint. Start acquiring real money, exchanging your debt instruments that are at over $66 trillion in debt, and get real money while you can, because it won't be available for long. So that's what's in the news. But it was one more. Oh, I need to refresh it. And I'm sorry. There was let me refresh this really quickly. Because there is a couple of articles that I posted, or at least one that, what did I do? All right. So let me get this situated and squared away. But here we go. Cool. One second. So, man, this year is going to be a humdinger, and it's going to be a lot involved in it. And I just want us to be as prepared as possible, because as this starts to turn into a major, major toothache, I don't want people to have to endure that overall pain that goes along with it when it's not necessary and it's not required that you do. There's another article. It was a YouTube video that I posted from RT International that is there. And so I wanted you all to get that. So what I want to do is I'm going to grab this article, YouTube video. I want you to hear this before we go into today's show. It's really, really short, just to get you up to speed. And then we're going to come back into the show and talk about what's going on and what the significance of this is and what you need to know so that you can have the appropriate response and take the appropriate measures to protect yourself. To protect yourself individually, to protect your family, and to protect the overall community at large, which I think is very, very important. And that needs to have a collaboration of efforts of people to be able to endure exactly what is going to be in front of us all. So, this is a three. Come on, stop. One second. Hold on, let me. You got too many things on that. Excuse me. Okay, sorry about that. Just had too much going on there. Okay, so I have a 3-minute video that I want you all to hear. I'm going to post it in for Scotty to play it. From RT International, very, very important. And then we'll come back in and pick up the show from there. Very, very significant, and I think that you will agree. So today's show, the vice factor, the U.S. debt trap. So, well, I could actually say it's a debt trap as well, a debt and death trap. And we don't want you to be put into that unescapable dungeon Okay. So, Scotty, if you would, if you could play that. If not, I will play it on my end. Let me just get control of it, and I think Scotty will if he can. So, it's about 3 minutes and 12. It's 3 minutes and 12 seconds. So here we go.
Now taking to Twitter to address Venezuelans and to recognize the presidency of a figure who was not elected president. Isn't that interesting? The United States is recognizing somebody in Venezuela who is not elected president, right there in that country in red. Red for communism, some of the critics of that country say. Here's RT correspondent Dan Cohen with the story.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence took to Twitter to recognize opposition leader Juan Guaido as president of Venezuela.
The United States supports the courageous decision by Juan Guaido, the president of your National Assembly, to assert that body's constitutional powers, declare Maduro a usurper, and call for the establishment of a transitional government.
Pence called the actual president, Nicolas Maduro, an illegitimate dictator. Now, that's despite Maduro having won a second presidential term and what the Council of Electoral Experts of Latin America called a clean election.
Nicolas Maduro is a dictator with no legitimate claim to power. He's never won the presidency in a free and fair election, and he's maintained his grip of power by imprisoning anyone who dares to oppose him.
Maduro responded in kind and condemned Pence's statement.
I have ordered the Minister of Foreign Affairs to initiate a total revision of our diplomatic relations with the United States of America. And in the upcoming hours, we will make political and diplomatic decisions in defense of national sovereignty and our Constitution.
Pence's call comes after Venezuela's Supreme Court declared null and void all acts of the National Assembly, which is dominated by Guaido's party. U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton condemned it as a predictable and hollow act and called the National Assembly Venezuela's only legitimate democratic institution. That decision came as small but rather violent anti-government demonstrations broke out in the streets. A cultural center in Caracas was set on fire and roads were blocked with burning barricades. Eventually, authorities broke them up with tear gas and rubber bullets. Opposition leader Juan Guaido cheered these protests on, joining Pence in calling Maduro a usurper. The protests were sparked after the arrest of a group of Venezuelan soldiers who reportedly stole weapons and attempted to raise a mutiny in Caracas. According to the Constituent Assembly president, they confessed to being offered payment to participate in the plot. Both President Nicolas Maduro and Juan Guaido have called for demonstrations in the streets on Wednesday. But Mike Pence's recognition of a leader who was never elected as president seems like a pretty clear case of meddling. Reporting in Washington, Dan Cohen, RT.
Hey YouTube, thanks for checking out our channel. We hope you enjoyed the video. We have tons of content for you just like this. For more.
Okay, everyone. So that was just a brief synopsis of what's going on. And what I want to do now, I want to read you from the actual U.S. code against engaging in coups and how that's an illegal act and what that entails. And this is from Cornell Law. And it's 18 U.S. Code 2385, advocating, just by advocating, overthrowing of government. Whoever knowingly or willfully advocates, obeyed, advises, or teaches the duty, necessary, desirable, or properties of overthrowing or destroying the government of the United States or governments of any state, territory, district, or possession thereof, or the government of any political subdivision thereof by force or violence, or by the assassination of any officer in such officer in such government, or whenever with intent to cause overthrow or destruction of any such government, prints, publishes, edits, issues, circulates, sells, distributes, publicly displays any written or printed material advocating, advising, or teaching the duties necessary or properties of overthrowing or destroying any government in the United States by force or violence or an attempt to do so whatsoever, organized to help or attempt to organize any social group or assemble any persons who teaches, advocates, or encourages the overthrowing or destruction of any such government by force or violence, or become it, or become or is a member of, affiliated with any such society, group, or assembly of persons, knowing the purpose thereof, shall be fined under the title of imprisonment not more than 20 years or both, and shall be ineligible for employment by the United States or the department or any of its department agency thereof of the five for 5 years following his or her conviction. If two or more persons conspire to commit any offense such as in this section, each shall be fined under the title of imprisonment not more than 20 years or both, shall be ineligible for employment by the United States Department, the United States, or any government agency thereof for 5 years following. As used in the section, the term organize and organizes with respect to any social group or assembly of persons, including recruiting new members or forming a new unit regarding the expansion of. Now, reason why I wrote, I had this law advocating the overthrow of the government. It talks about the U.S., so that basically for any U.S. citizen here. But it's also illegal for the U.S. government to engage in any same type of advocation against a government outside. And not only that, but if it's illegal here, that means the overall intentions of the overall individuals or the conspirators has a illegal intention. And this is at admission of that. So by Pence going on and advocating, willfully and knowingly advocating the removal of Maduro, he's actually engaging in an international violation of law. Doesn't matter that it comes from the United States because they think so or whatever. The overall act in itself is illegal. It's illegal within the U.S. and it's illegal outside as well. And that's exactly what's happening. And this is and this is very, very significant and very critical. Here's why. Here's what I want to just really quickly. Let me, 1 second. Let me give you a synopsis of what's going on here. In back in 2018, and celebrity figurehead Trump admitted to this, where they actually said that they called countries around in Latin America, said if the U.S. would wanted to intervene in Venezuela for humanitarian measures, meaning intervene militarily. And this article from Newsmax, want to just bring you up to speed on some things that have been happening. U.S. officials met Venezuelan officers to discuss coup, a coup bid, the report adds. And this was actually put out, and we posted this one as soon as I get it to come back up. 1 second. All right, I guess I'm having a little problem there. But we posted this last year, and I think it was in October of last year. October, September of last year. And celebrity figurehead Trump went on and said yes, that they were considering it. They had asked, and they were campaigning for that to be done. And that's completely illegal. And as soon as I get everything back up, because my screen went down, I want to show you some of the past so that you can see some of the historical events that the U.S. has been engaging in for years. in trying to overthrow, invoke coups in outside government, which is completely against international law. It is illegal. What is what's illegal is also what's immoral. To be trying to wage that type of activity. So it doesn't need to be a law. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
You know, what makes me so mad about this whole conversation is we're talking about what's, you know, we say all the time, we have a saying, this is a wake-up call. What makes it, what's irritating so much about this is the level of hypocrisy and everything that this whole conversation is. What I mean by that is, you're exactly right. This is against international law. It's nothing new, because this is the way we've been operating for decades. But we're talking about what we're doing in other people's country, whereas we're looking at what's going on in this country that we live in right here today. Now, it's one thing to get away with this stuff across waters and across continents and all that, where people don't see it, they don't feel it, and when news come out like this, it used to be a shock. But at present, we're talking about a time in which there is enough evidence to know that we're not just doing this across countries and across international waters. That same thing is going right here, right now, today.
Yep.
There's enough evidence to show that this last election was illegal. There's enough evidence to show that Trump is up to his elbows in Russian political, under the table conferences and everything else. What we're looking at is what Bush came out and talked about, the access of evil. The problem is, we're the evil. And it's going on right here, right now, underneath our noses. And nobody's saying, well, you know, you hear some things about it, but ultimately nobody's saying anything about it, as far as the powers that be. You know, for Pence, we know about Trump. We know everything that dribbles out of his mouth is a lie. Pence comes out and he starts talking about this illegal thing, recognizing an illegal person that won the election. Now, how ridiculous is that? But that's the ridiculous is what they say. What did they say? They call it the new way, or the new life, or whatever you want to call it. That's our everyday now.
New world order
and the new world order, and we're not waking up to any of this stuff. Ultimately, not as a whole. You know, the stuff that Trump is doing and stuff should be obvious to everybody now. But you got guys falling in behind him, supporting him, and like it's a rallying cry. And it's the same thing that happened to Germany, but you got the same thing happening here.
You know, the one article I'm about to read, just to make point to what Keith was saying, is that, see, as things get worse, the overall criminality becomes more blatant. And this is a blatant violation of, but it's not just Venezuela. As Keith was saying, it's here, but it's not just here. And it's not just in the continental United States. It's not just in Venezuela. It's in Syria. Remember, the Obama administration was trying to campaign to have Assad removed. That's illegal. You can't do that. It's none of your business. And so it's huge. It goes on and on. But let me read this. This is from September of 2018. Officials from the President Trump's administration met secretly with Venezuelan military officers to discuss a plan to oust President Nicolas Maduro, but eventually decided not to help. Well, see, this is the thing. You believe them, but they're admitting everything that was there. Who do you think arranged it? Who do you think coordinated it? Who do you think funded it? Who do you think means, opportunity, benefited the most? Some of the things you have to look at. The New York Times reported Saturday, Trump has been harshly critical of Maduro's leftist regime as Venezuela has spiraled down in a grave economic and humanitarian crisis that sparked violent protests and prompting a wave of move this down, immigration into nearby countries. Why do you think that is? Because this is a covert action and a covert operation that the U.S. has been engaging in for years, and they're trying to destabilize Venezuela. Why are they trying to destabilize Venezuela? Here's the reason why. It's for money, and the money that I'm talking about and the money that they're talking about ain't cash. It's the money of oil. It's a living resource that gives energy, that allows you to have control over other individuals and other governments. It's essential to remaining relevant. So there's a massive push for that. But there's a push against it by Venezuela, China, Russia, and all of its allies.
I will add something to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
What I will add to that, of course, you know, stealing the resources, the oil is key. Venezuela has some of the largest oil fields in the world, but it's also political gang warfare, capitalism versus socialism.
Yep.
Now again, I can't really tell you a lot about socialism except for what I read, and because I never lived in a country. Well, I would say the United States practiced socialism, just a different form of socialism, but it's for the rich. You know what I'm saying? It ain't for the poor people.
Right.
It ain't for the masses. But anytime a socialist government has been elected by the people of that country, here come the United States with a coup d'etat. They always do this, and this is so they can't have a socialist country be successful in providing for the needs of its people and having a vibrant economy, because then, you know, they're afraid that, well, it's working for them over there. And, you know, look at Cuba, they ain't got no homeless people. Venezuela, they providing the basic needs for the people based off of the nationalization of their resources. So, you know, to me, it's political gang warfare. They cannot allow a socialist country. And then they always use the excuse. People on Twitter last night, well, this is, they're starving because he nationalized certain areas of their economy. That's always the excuse they use. That's why they installed the dictator, the Shah, over there in Iran. When the previous guy nationalized the oil fields and kicked out the Western corporations. And what do? They pull a coup d'etat and install the Shah of Iran. And then that's what led to the Iranian Revolution.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Keith.
Kind of piggybacking on what Scotty said. You know, the problem with this conversation, again, and you hear me talking about it all the time, is the problem is what happens when people come up with a discussion. They always roll to the extreme of the far side of whatever side that they're taking, right? And we're doing the same thing in this conversation. The fact of the matter is, socialism and capitalism, neither one of them operates at those extremes. So really what you come down to is, if you want to look at it, all you're really looking at is how were the moral substance behind the decisions of how they're spending tax money. I'll give you an example. We are socialists. We have been since Social Security, welfare, food stamps, all of that is socialism.
Right.
Right? All of that socialism. Now you want
right,
to say
right. Public housing, housing assistance, all of that.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right.
All of that socialism. So when you someone and start talking about, no, we're capitalistic. No, we're not capitalistic. No more than we're not socialism. Why do I say? Because in a capitalistic society, he who built a better mousetrap, the people will come. That don't happen here. Why? Because you have monopolies and everything else. You got the powers to be that will shut all those other ideas down.
Hey, Keith, question. But isn't it true, though, that there are, and this isn't a partisan thing, it's not Republicans, it's not Democrats, it's both. But over the past few decades, you know, you mentioned Social Security. I think that came from Roosevelt, you know, with the New Deal for the masses of the people and what have you. But of course, it excluded Black people. But anyway, they continue to cut those, call them socialist programs and what have you. They want to get rid of them. They don't care if people starve. They don't care if people have housing in this country, because guess what? You should have built the mousetrap.
Well, you're exactly right. But the key word to what you said is what they said.
Right.
And we are living in the time that what they said is irrelevant. They lie about everything.
Right.
Look, for the last decade, at least, by far, the happiest citizens in the world are socialistic countries. Sweden, Denmark, Finland, all of those. Those are the happiest, most content people in the world, and they're all socialistic.
You know what? And I want to say this, and because we are all right on the same thing, because here's what it is. This is the most socialistic, fascist country that I think that is on the planet. Because see, what they do is that they say socialism, and they use what the overall government so supposedly gives to the people. One, the government don't give anything to the people. That is fully funded by that is supposed to be funded by the overall citizens' purse from taxes, which the taxes are illegal themselves. You know, Margaret Thatcher said this about socialism. She said, socialism is great until you run out of somebody else's money. But I want to say this about it, because they're both equally unyoked, and they're used as a conspiracy by mankind, because this was created by man. This was not created by the great creator. Just as Margaret Thatcher can say socialism is great until you run out of other people's money, I will say this about capitalism. Capitalism is great until you steal everything from everybody. Once you steal everything from everybody, capitalism doesn't work. Once socialism doesn't, because basically these are how these governments are using their overall waning power. And let me tell you something about the socialism in this country. The corporations are the biggest recipients of welfare from the overall taxpayers, because this is fascism. This is fascism at it, and they try to cover it and yoke it behind different terminologies, but that's what it is. See, socialism, so-called, is good until you run out of using somebody else's money, and capitalism is good until you run out of what you have already stolen. Once you can't steal anymore from the people, capitalism don't work no more.
Hey, Dave, let me say this, though. In the case of Venezuela, we had to take a look at why their economy became destabilized. Was it because of the programs for the poor? No, it was because of the sabotaging of the oil market by the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Colombia, because their form of socialism, they wasn't taken from anybody else. You know what I'm saying? They was paying for it with the oil coming out the ground. Who owns the oil coming out the ground? Shouldn't that be looked at as a community resource?
Or should it be looked at as community money?
Or should individuals be able to come in and lay claim to something that they didn't create?
Exactly, Scotty. That is a part of the ecosystem. You're absolutely right. And very, very important. Keith, we're going to go back to you, then I want to get back to this article. Very, very important, because this show is critical, because it's really vice factor is the U.S. death trap. And I want to really get to it. But go ahead, Keith.
Okay, yeah. And I'm right in line with what you're saying. What we have to understand is that neither system is evil in itself. And we talked about this before in the past conversations.
Like Scotty said, corruption is it.
Corruption is it. Evil people. And what you're looking at is you're looking at a moral decay. So you guys are both hit it right. How is that money going to be used, and by whom is in control of the money and that power? That's it.
It's neither one system or the other. You know, even if I take it back to the word, one of my favorite verses that they said about Christians, he said, you know what? You can tell the Christians by their love for one another, right? And that was a wonderful thing, because people could look at one of those individuals and say, that's a Christian. I can tell them by how he loves his brother. Well, they were living in a socialistic commune. They shared everything. And they had the heart to, you know what? They did. The only commandment we live by today, if you're a Christian, is to love thy Lord all the heart, all the soul, all the might, and to love thy neighbor as they do yourself. Well, if you love your neighbor as you do yourself, and if you recognize the fact that your neighbor is hungry, is in need, and you have it, you share it. That's socialism. But by the same token, if you do what you're called to do and you're gifted to do something, capitalism will come into play, because that is your gift to the world or to whatever you want to call it. So how are you going to use your gift? Are you going to be totally selfish with it and use it in a completely capitalistic way? And there's compromises between the two. Or are you going to be, you know what? One of the things I read, the guy that discovered penicillin. Did you know that when he discovered penicillin, he gave that to the world without a dime in return? Because he knew it was good for the people and good for the world. So it's not whether things are capitalistic or socialistic. Where is your heart?
Hey, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Nikolai Tesla wanting to provide the world with free energy?
Yes, he did, Scotty.
And still does. You know, if you take all his stuff, he says, you know what? All my knowledge with the batteries and everything else, if you need it, you can take it. He's not covering none of that stuff up. He's still that way with his cars, the whole nine yards.
I think Keith, he's talking about Nikolai Tesla, what the company was named after, and I think you're referring to Eli. And Nikolai Tesla actually wanted to give the overall harnessing the energy out of the earth, because it was there to be used and it exists, and he wanted to give it. But J.P. Morgan wanted to monetize it, and that's why they destroyed Tesla and threw him out of and killed him in the New York hotel. And then stole all of his science work. So definitely. But hey, hold on, check this out. Let me get to this part, because this is very critical. Want to go back to this. I posted a couple of other articles. This stuff is really going to blow up. From this article from Newsweek in September, a National Security Council spokesman in remarks to AFP said that the United States policy prefers for a peaceful, orderly return to democracy in Venezuela remains unchanged. The United States government hears daily concerns of Venezuelans from all walks of life. They share one goal, the rebuilding of democracy in their homeland, the spokesman said. Let me just say this. This is how they try to have the talking points to actually change the overall narrative for their criminal agenda. They don't care about Venezuelans. They don't care. They just care about the overall oil reserves of Venezuela and what that will do and give them as far as leverage and control on the global economic stage to maintain the petrodollar and the reserve currency status of the U.S. dollar that gives them overall control of the global production, productivity. They're able to siphon and steal from it that way. That's all they care about. So all of this is completely illegal. Let me go to this real quick before I change. Let me go to something else. Very important. Further down in the article, U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton insists that there was no U.S. government involved in the incident. In August of 2017, media reports said that Trump asked top advisors about the potential for a U.S. invasion of Venezuela around the same time. He said publicly that he would not rule out military options to end the chaos there.
Do you believe them? And I would tell you, how can you believe them? Every word that is spoken in the political arena is a lie. And here's why that's so significant. Let me give you, just go down a couple of the countries that the U.S. has been directly involved in coups, going back to the 19th century, going back to 1846, but even further than that. But I'm just going to start there.
Yeah, it go way, way back to the 1700s War. Even.
Then Samoa, then the U.S. Empire expansion, then in 1893, the Kingdom of Hawaii. 1898, Cuba and Puerto Rico. 1899, Philippines. 1898 to 1901, China. Then in the 1900s, 1903, Panama. From 1900 to 1920, Honduras. 1910 to 1933, Nicaragua. 1914, Mexico. 1934, Haiti. 1924, Dominican Republic, World War I, 1918, Russia, Panama, during the Cold War era, South Korea, China, Greece, the Philippines, Egypt, Italy, and Syria in 1949. These were all in the 40s. In the 50s, excuse me, let me read the 40s again. In the 40s, it was South Korea, China, Greece, the Philippines. Why was that so significant? Because of the gold that was there. Egypt, Italy, and Syria. In the 1950s, you had Iran, Guatemala, Laos. The failed coup against Syria. Syria has withstood many, many U.S. coup attempts. Indonesia in the 1950s, Libya in the 1958, and Iraq in 1959. Now let's go to the 60s. Laos, Dominican Republic again, the Bay of Pigs in Cuba, Brazil, Iraq, Vietnam, Dominican Republic again, Indonesia, Greece. How about the 70s? Bolivia, Iraq, 1973, Chile. Chile was very, very significant because they got caught red-handed where they actually had the overall the president assassinated, and they got caught, and then they created a law saying the U.S. can no longer engage in that type of activities, but they've never stopped. From 1979 to 1989, Afghanistan. Now let's go to the 80s. El Salvador, Nicaragua, Grenada in 1983, Panama in 1989. But in all during this time, there were coups and actually coups and legitimate movements to change the U.S. government that went on here in the United States. You know all of those campaigns that included Dr. King, Malcolm, Huey, Fred, many, many others. But let's go on. 1990s, Kuwait, Haiti, Iraq, Indonesia, 2000, Yugoslavia, Iran, the Palestinian territories, Syria once again, 2010, Libya, the Egyptian coup, and they did the Egyptian coup during the so-called Arab Spring, the Ukrainian coup.
Yeah, that Egypt thing, remember that? That was, that guy won the election in Egypt, but because he belonged to a political organization that had been around since the 50s called the Muslim Brotherhood, see, people think that's some kind of religious group. I mean, yeah, they're religious in that it's a predominantly Muslim country, but that was a political organization to get candidates elected.
Yep, and that was the vice president of when they killed Sadat. And, oh, man, his name escapes me. I see his face and everything else. It'll come to me later. Yeah, Scotty's absolutely right. The Ukrainian Revolution was all sparked, and they used the Nazi party to do that because the U.S. and the Nazis never severed ties. in present day Yemen. So all of these coups that the U.S. government has been directly involved in for overall control of resources and control of political positioning and geopolitical positioning has gone on.
And Dave, there were plenty of countries left out, man.
Venezuela in here.
There was plenty of countries left off that list. Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras. There's a second migrant caravan coming from Honduras. It's in Mexico now, coming to the U.S. border seeking political asylum. Well, that's because of that 2009 coup that took place in the destabilization and the violence and what have you.
Yep. They left Venezuela off of here. Honduras and Nicaragua are on here. But in that overall time frame that Scotty talked about, they didn't put them back on here because those coups continue to operate. It's called, you know, the schools of America. Boy, this is relevant because this is going to now implode. And it's going to implode because of this reason. And I'm going to briefly just gave you that, but let me give you the countries now that are standing against Maduro. It's the U.S. Britain just came out and said that they don't acknowledge Maduro anymore. Argentina, Brazil, Canada, the U.S., and I believe Colombia as well. Who's on the other side? The other side is vice. Iran. Oh, I didn't add this one country. Turkey. Russia. China. And all of their allies are siding with Maduro. And it's so severe that this article is very, very important.
Hey, Dave, where is the figurehead from the UN? Now, the UN certified these elections. If there was any kind of leadership there, then the UN General Assembly should be issuing statements. The UN celebrity figurehead, I forget his title. But, I mean, these elections were observed by the international community. Where are they? Have they said anything?
I think it's going to come to that, and that's going to be a major, major problem. And that's going to be a major, major problem because now Russia is actually pushing this because Putin, foreign interference in Venezuela internal affairs grossly violates international law.
Didn't something just come up at the Security Council? Didn't they just vote on it or something?
I think that the U.S. is going to try to push an emergency meeting, or Russia is going to push for an emergency meeting on that, and then there will be probably a vote on it.
Also, Dave, also, this opens up the door, because right now the United States is really speaking out against Trump wanting to pull out of the U.N. Well,
Hold on, Keith. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, Scotty, give me 2 minutes. When we come back, we're going to put this all together, and I want
Check the chat room, too. Check the chat room. So I give you two minutes.
Okay, because I have a minute. Okay, cool. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back in, let me see. Okay, got you, Scotty. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty, just come back when you're ready, and then I'll just run through. I won't need that much time. So whenever you're ready, so that you can finish what you need to finish. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Man, Scotty, I hope you're going to be able to hear this show in between, because I really, very, very important, but we're going to carry on, because I really wanted Scotty's input on some stuff as well. So, but we're going to go ahead and get back. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Take your time, Scotty. Do what you need to do. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Very, very, very important. So now, listen. What I want to do now, we set up how this works, but here's what's significant about this. Let me give you just a quick synopsis, and then I'll get into some articles that substantiate, validates that, but also what this means. Okay, there's the New York Times. After U.S. backs the illegitimate, I don't even like to say the individual's names anymore, as Venezuela's leader, Maduro cuts ties. Now, when Maduro cut ties and he kicked out U.S. diplomats, he gave them 72 hours to leave the country. Let me just get this one from New York Times. Celebrity figurehead, says Caracas, Venezuela, President. Celebrity figurehead President Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela faced the most direct challenge to his power, to his hold on power on Wednesday when an opposition leader stood in the streets of the capital declaring himself, they're admitting it there, declaring himself the legitimate president, cheered by thousands of supporters and growing numbers of government, including the Trump administration. Mr. Maduro responded furiously by cutting diplomatic ties with the United States. He gave U.S. diplomats, American diplomats, I hate to say American because they're all American, gave U.S. diplomats 72 hours to leave the country, ordering them out, and they were to be gone, and accuses the Trump administration of plotting to overthrow him. The United States said it would ignore the deadline. The fast-moving development converging in Venezuela, a once prosperous country, has been devastated by years of political repression, economic mismanagement, and corruption. No, it has not been. It was actually, some of that, yes, was probably there, but it was actually a conspiracy agenda that was put against that country, because Chavez had wanted to repatriate the country's gold. And when you do that, you're taking power from the establishment and giving control back to yourself, and they didn't like it. But they also appear to be giving new momentum to opposition leaders. A 35-year-old National Assembly who stepped into the national stage just recently, Mr. Maduro immediately dismissed the opposition's claim to the presidency, calling it a part of an American-led conspiracy to topple him, demonstrating his control grip on the power. He signed an order to expel American diplomats on the balcony of the presidential palace. I am the only president of Venezuela, Maduro said. We do not want to return to the 20th century intervention and coup d'etat. Mr. Maduro's reaction came a few hours after Mr. Trump, in the White House statement, formally announced his recognition of the opposition leader, the interim leader of Venezuela. The people of Venezuela have courageously spoke out against Maduro and his regime, demanding for freedom of the rule of law, celebrity figurehead Trump said. A senior American official briefing in Washington warned if Maduro uses force against opposition, the United States can impose new sanctions and do not rule out the use of military force to stop him. It was the first time that the Trump administration has warned of military options for Venezuela. It is not the first time. They've been saying that ever since. They've been lying and trying to disguise it and create the overall. See, this is what happened. They create the problem that turns into chaos, that brings about a collapse, and then they offer a solution to what the problem is that they created. Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Paraguay, Peru, Ecuador, Guatemala, and the organizations of American states have recognized the opposition leader as the country's leader. Now, why did they do that? Because all of these countries are under control of who? The U.S. But I want to say watch Guatemala and watch Brazil. Temporarily, Brazil will be there. Guatemala will be there temporarily. It will be a switch. While Venezuelan state media ignored the opposition and his supporters in the street, there was scattered evidence of large-scale representation of opposition supporters by the police and armed forces, as happened in the past. Let me stop there. Here's the point that one paragraph is so important. A senior American official briefed reporters in Washington, warned that Maduro's use of force against opposition, that if Maduro uses force against opposition, the United States could impose new sanctions and do not rule out use of military force to stop him. Here's the problem with that. Russia has come out and said that the U.S. better not use military intervention against Maduro, else they'll come to his aid. Give you a small synopsis of that. And that was from, this comes from Russia. Let me just grab it real quick. Oops, that's the wrong article. One second. You hit this one. There it is. Right? One sec, you all. Okay, so here it is. A Russian, this is what Russia said. Russian supported Maduro as expected, saying it would continue to work with his government. The deputy foreign minister warned the U.S. against trying to topple Maduro by force, a scenario that Washington has been reportedly deliberating for quite some time. Quote, we believe it would be a disastrous and would damage the foundation of the mode of development preferred in Latin America, the Russian official said. As you know, one of the slogans that capture the elements of self-identification of the mainly closely connected nations in Latin America is unity in diversity. It goes on to say, I want to emphasize that outside sanctions or interference usually makes the situation more complicated and are not helpful to resolve actual problems. Overall, the Turkish president said that the call for Brother Maduro to stand tall. And Russia has said that they would support and they will support Maduro. And they warned the U.S. against any form of military actions against Maduro. And the significance of that was, here's what, let me get you real quickly. Oops. Vladimir Putin had a statement. Putin, foreign interference in Venezuela, international affairs grossly violates international law. And what does that really mean? It means that Russia is going to, with China, because all of this is the sides that are supporting Maduro, is Iran, Turkey, Russia, China, and all of their allies. Here's the significance of this. Here's what the significance of this is. Maduro is giving the U.S. 72 hours for its diplomats to be removed, to leave. The U.S. is defiant against that. Celebrity figurehead Trump and Pence and Pompano say, no, we're going to defy that. We're not going to have our diplomats removed. We're not going to call them back. And the problem with that is going to be this. Maduro has told them to leave the country. They don't leave the country. He said that he will use the military to remove them. And in using the military to remove them, ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. can look at that as a act of war. One second, everyone. Okay, everyone. Sorry about that. So,
hey, Dave.
Yeah. Go ahead. Jackie.
Your last statement that you made right before you left temporarily, you said they can look at that as an act of war. How are they going to look at that as an act of war with a sovereign country enacting its military to clear what's outside of its sovereign borders? I mean, inside of its sovereign borders. The act of war is not them using the military to clear out this. The act of war would be the American retaliation. They have a right to not have diplomats in there. That's the right of the sovereign country.
Yeah, Keith, and the significance of that, I'm going to tell you. One second. Here's the significance of that, Keith, and you're right, but here's what the significance is. The diplomats will be housed at the U.S. embassy there, and every embassy is considered the sovereign territory of the overall embassy state of representation. So Maduro and the army would have to go on to that overall embassy and expel all of those out of there. And the U.S. can view that as an act of war. And that would be the excuse. They actually want Maduro to do that. Because then they can claim that that is an act of war. And then now they can, just as the senior U.S. Administration official said, they would even consider if there's opposition to the overall leadership in the opposition, that the U.S. will bring in new sanctions and have the overall military option as well. This is that war that I've been telling all that here it comes. And that's how they're going to do that. So here's how this situation can go. Let me read you all something really quickly from Lion Lock of Fox News. Maduro severs Venezuelan relations with the U.S. Here it is. Venezuelan Maduro on Wednesday said he's cutting off relationships with the United States, giving diplomats 72 hours to exit the country. Where are the diplomats at the embassy? The social leader ordered a review of the relationship with the U.S. Hours after celebrity figurehead Trump recognized the opposition leader. Earlier, Mike Pence recorded a video to Venezuelans referring to Maduro as a dictator with no legitimate claim to power. He's trying to invoke an overall coup and civil war there. He has never won the presidency in a fair election, and he has maintained a grip of power by imprisoning anyone who dares to oppose him. After the video was sent on Tuesday, Maduro spoke on state television saying that Prince has brought their relationship to about a 200-year low in relationships between the country by attempting to authorizing a coup. On Wednesday, Trump recognized the opposition leader at the head. The citizens of Venezuela have suffered long enough at the illegitimate Maduro regime. Secretary Pence said later Wednesday that the U.S. stands with the opposition leader and does not consider former President Nicolas Maduro as having a legal authority to break diplomatic relations with the United States or to declare our diplomats non-personnel negrad, meaning they have to leave. So they're saying he can't do it. The U.S. is saying he's not the legitimate leader to do it. So when Maduro says you got 72 hours to leave, and then they don't leave, and then he has them expelled from the country by force, that is where you have an after war.
Wait a minute, Dave.
I'm not siding with the U.S. I'm saying what the U.S. is going to try to use as the overall springboard to attack militarily. Remember what they said? They said that now the military option is on, because since they say that he is no longer the legitimate leader, that is actually an act of war by the U.S. against Venezuela.
Hey, Dave, I'm back, man. Let me ask you a question, because I may have misheard you. I mean, it's like reading an article from The Onion or something, man, you know, to hear Trump and them talk.
Yeah, pull back the layer.
So when Maduro gives them 72 hours to leave, and if they don't leave, and so he has the security, you know, their security forces ship them off to the airport. I could see the United States trying to say that's an act of war, but it's not an act of war. You're a guest in somebody else's house. That's like calling the police on me for kicking you out my house because I don't want you there no more.
Yeah, it is. But here's how it works, and you all know this. The U.S. is saying that he doesn't have that authority to do that because he's the illegitimate president. This is why they're calling him the former, and they're saying he's illegitimate.
Right, right.
Those words are, they're setting up the overall legality to be able to use the overall military. Because where is Maduro going to go to those to kick those diplomats out? He's going to go to where? The U.S. Embassy. And once the Maduro, see, this is what it is. As they are in the country as a guest, the leader can sever ties and say your political your diplomats have to leave our country.
I see what you're saying, because technically those embassies are looked at as U.S. soil. I see where you're coming from. Even though they're totally in the wrong and they're trying to pull a coup in the country, I see what you're saying.
Exactly. They're trying to bait Maduro into doing it. And Maduro is right in doing it because he can do it. So what they're doing is that they're trying to force Maduro's hand so that they can come back and say that these are the legitimate reasons why we're going to use force. But there is Russia and China that's standing there and say, hold on, he's right, you're wrong. And if you use military against him, we will enact on his side as well. We are coming to the it is 72 hours how this is going to play out. So when Maduro, who is the legitimate president of Venezuela, has given the legitimate order to sever ties, because he can do that, sever ties with the U.S. and have their overall diplomats leave the country, since we are severing our ties with you. You have to leave now. Go home. Now, in order to do that, they're going to be in that embassy. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to send the military in. There will be no overall force, or even if there is a firefight, which would be bad, a bad thing to happen, but it doesn't matter. He's asked you and told you to leave. They kick them out, take them to the overall airport, put them on the plane, and send them away. The U.S. can say that that is an act of war.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, listen.
Their country, the United States.
If Maduro was smart, so he doesn't fall into that trap, even though he has the legal authority and they're in the wrong, I would just simply cut off the water and electricity to the embassy. That's what he's going to do.
Exactly, Scotty. That's what he's going to do. And guess what the U.S. is going to say? That's an act of war. They're still going to say that that's an act of war. Because they're going to say that because they're going to say he's the illegitimate president that is now cutting off power to the United States in their interest in Venezuela, not able to do business on their own ground. This is ugly. It's a setup. They've been trying to get into this overall confrontation because what they want to do is they want to push China and Russia out, and they want to seize all of those resources there because they're going to need the oil of Venezuela in order to fight this war. What is China and Russia saying? No way. No how.
Yeah, one last thing, Dave. See, this is why I'm so glad that I was able to convince my one daughter that wanted to go into the military not to go into the military. You know, this is why I talk about in retrospect, if I had to do it over again, I would have never joined the military for some college money. I'd have found some other way. But, you know, when we got a government that is constantly intruding on the freedoms and liberties of other people, and they turn our military, members of the military, our sons and our daughters, into paid killers, man, mercenaries, because the war is not a just war. It's aggression.
Nope. It's aggression, exactly, about manifest destiny, conquering, and it's illegitimate. And then our young people suffer from that. They absolutely suffer from it. And yes, this is going to be a huge, huge problem. And this is how they've decided to best intervene. And remember the article that I read earlier from September when the U.S. met with Venezuelan officers to discuss the coup bid. That didn't go the way that they wanted, and they had a Trump card. No pun intended. Their card that they wanted to use was to say that Maduro's illegitimate. Remember, they tried to blow up a daggone drone where he was. That assassination attempt. Who foiled that overall assassination attempt? I would say that it was China that caused that overall drone to explode 100 yards away from him. And you can see it on YouTube. You can watch Maduro and the security watching this thing come in. And it's not funny, but it is really, really a problem. I want to just real quickly, let me just give you some of the things that Russia has said also as well.
Hey, Dave, before you get into Russia, let me read this news to you right quick. And let's think about this. This comes from the official Twitter account of the GOP. That's the Republican Party, Grand Old Party. 2,000 people a day are attempting to come into this country illegally. Our system was never designed to deal with illegal immigration of that nature at the southern border. The president is absolutely determined to get the resources to build a wall to secure the border. You know what? And again, we're talking about here today about Venezuela is why you got people trying to immigrate here or migrate here. They never talk about the fact that we're destabilizing these countries and, you know, causing horrible conditions on the ground for these people. So that's why they come in here for safety. So they just want to throw up a wall to prevent them.
Yep. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Scotty. And it's China and Russia that standing in the overall confines. Let me give you this. And what Scotty is saying is absolutely right. They destabilize and they say, look, this person did this. Well, they destabilize it because that overall individual has decided, no, I'm not going to go with your plan. I'd rather do other things. There's an article, Syria and China condemns U.S. interference in Venezuela and Venezuelan domestic affairs. Syria and China, among other nations, have condemned the U.S. and interference in Venezuela as Washington recognized an opposition leader who declared himself. See, they tell right there, he declared himself. There was no election that he declared himself, and they're recognizing him because that's a plant. It's a plant. Damascus has strongly censured U.S. President Donald Trump's administration and interference in South American countries' internal affairs, as Washington recognizes self-proclaimed opposition leader as the president of Venezuela. Why is this significant? What is Syria doing right now? Syria is engaging in overall military confrontation with Israel that is about to explode. Just about to explode. Syria condemns in the strongest terms the United States by blatant interference in Venezuela as a constitution and a flagrant violation of all international norms and laws. Also, here's what I got to check out this article as well. This comes from the State Department, and this is updated. Well, this is from yesterday. I'll check that out as well. Very, very important. So now, Putin voices support for Maduro. In another development, Russian President Vladimir Putin has made phone calls to his Venezuelan counterpart, Nicolas Maduro, expressing support for the Latin American leader. What do you think that support was? If the U.S. used military, we will use military to defend you. According to a statement, just like they did in Syria, we will offer you the same protection that we are giving with Syria. Why? Because they have to. Express support for legitimate authorization of Venezuela in context to domestic policy crisis that have been provoked from the outside. Putin added that an intervention by any other country violates the formal norms of international law in the statement. The Kremlin's statement went on to note that Venezuela's Maduro thanked Russia for its principal position on the ongoing crisis in his country. Earlier on Thursday, today, Moscow warned Washington against any attempt to militarily intervene in Venezuela. U.S. officials remarked, dangerous intervention in other countries' affairs. The Iran's ambassador to Venezuela in neighboring Bolivia says in an exclusive interview with Press TV that the rapid recognition claimed by President Maduro's opposition rulers is dangerous in intervention in any country's international affair. It goes on. Here's from China. Meanwhile, China, at a regular briefing at its capitals in Beijing's foreign ministry spokeswoman said her respective countries would support the Venezuelan government in its efforts to protect the Latin American state and independence and stability, calls for all sides to calmly and responsibly find a peaceful solution. I want to emphasize that outside sanctions or interference usually makes the situation more complicated and is not helpful to resolve the actual problem. She further stated in an apparent reference to Washington's move, recognizing the self-proclaiming president. Spain and EU call for fresh elections in Venezuela. The UN chief, here we go, the UN chief urges dialogue in Venezuela. And in relation to the development on Thursday, the UN Security Council General called for dialogue to stop the want a dialogue that can be possible that would avoid an escalation that will lead to the kind of conflict. What kind of conflict are they talking about? War between the U.S. and Russia and China there. That would be a disaster for the people of Venezuela and for the region. The Security Council, the UN Security General said at the Economic Forum in Davos. The UN chief said sovereign governments have the possibility to decide whatever they want, adding, what we are worried about with the situation in Venezuela is the suffering of the people of Venezuela. Earlier in the day, Iran, Turkey, and Russia expressed their strongest support for Maduro, legitimate governing, warning Washington against interference in domestic affairs in Venezuela. What was the UN chief basically said? Wait a minute. The sovereign government has the possibility to decide whatever they want. They can kick the U.S. out of Venezuela. He's saying Maduro can do it. Because as Scotty said, they recognize that overall election is him winning. This is going to be a mess. This is going to be a problem. Here's what I think is going to be the problem. When we come back out of the break, we'll give you my assessment, what it means, what it could lead to, what you need to prepare for. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, I'm back on the board. I would be able to see you. Sorry about that. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. Here's the significance of it all. As I stated, the move is now 72 hours. What's going to happen in 72 hours? If it's a wise move, the U.S. will back down. But I don't really see how they're going to be able to back down when they said that they don't recognize Maduro as being a legitimate president, and they're not going to pull their overall diplomats out. They'll allow their diplomats to get kicked out because they have no choice in that. But now what are they going to do once the diplomats are kicked out the country? And one of the things that the U.S. does is that they create these kind of crises so that there can be some negotiation, so that they can start to swarm their way slowly into what they want. It's really up to Maduro. How is he going to play this? I agree. I don't think that he would send the army in to kick them out physically. But what he would do is cut off the power. Now that becomes a situation. The U.S. says he's illegitimate, and the rest of the world says that they're legitimate. What's going to happen is that there's going to be a divide in the world. Some countries are going to acknowledge him, some countries aren't. And then what does that mean? That means that the U.S. will continue sanctions, and what overall play would they'll bring in new sanctions, and then what other plays will they bring in? Will they bring in an embargo against Venezuela? Will they have a naval blockade of Venezuela? Because they could block the overall access to Venezuela in a naval blockade. Will they go that far? Remember all of those arms and the artillery and all that other stuff that was going through California? I mean, my overall opinion, this was a part of that overall deployment of assets for that overall confrontation. Then what happens is, what is China and Russia going to do? Because that overall blockade, naval blockade, is really a blockade to cut Russia and China off from being able to go to Panama and Cuba. I see this playing out this way. I see Maduro actually either forcefully removing those individuals at the UN, at the embassies, kicking them out, sending them home, or cutting off the power. Either way, this is going to be a play on the whole thing, because Russia and China is going to give advisements to Maduro as to what to do, and believe me, he's going to do exactly what they advise. It's really what is Putin and Jinping going to do? Putin and Xi Jinping. What are they going to do? What is the president of China and Russia going to do? Because this overall war, because now you have Argentina and Brazil has a Trumpianite president. I don't think that that individual is going to last there for long. Now you're going to start to have the chop-up of South America. Remember what Russia did not too long ago and flew strategical nuclear bombers to Venezuela and landed them. This was all for this reason. We're coming to a point. And I think that there's going to be a so-called humanitarian call that the U.S. will try to use to invade and put troops in Colombia to move into Venezuela. And the Venezuelan military will meet them under the overall support of Russia and China.
Oh, Dave, man, let me just share this tweet with you I just sent out. This is to break it down for those who may find what we're talking about to be a little bit complicated or complex. So I'm going to make it hit home for you. At Speaker Pelosi, who did not run for president in 2016, declared herself president and told the rest of the world that real Donald Trump is illegitimate and causing suffering. She did not even run for press, but China and Russia recognize her. This is what is happening in Venezuela.
Yep.
Check the Scotty, board. You got some calls.
Yes. Well put together. That's exactly what's happening there. So thanks, Scotty. Let's go to Brother Davis. Brother and Sister Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you? Good to hear the voice of a friend.
Absolutely. It's good to hear the voice of a friend. And I'm going to tell you, man, we have to understand this is a total usurping of the authority of a sovereign nation. So this literally becomes quite a prize for China and Russia, knowing that right now the United States gonies is in a vice. Something's got to give here. And ultimately, they have the resources to wait this out as long as it takes. And I do think, and a lot of people are not trying to play this down, but some of Trump's moves play right into Russia's plan. When you start looking at how things are structured, how the U.S. is spread out, how he literally taking federal employees and turning them against the government, all of these things are starting to play a role in the decisions that are coming down the line. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think this is going to be pleasant for anybody in the United States. But if China and Russia can come away with three or four major players in South America, as well as be able to slice this pie to their comfort, believe me, they have nothing to lose. I just wanted to add that, brother. Great show.
Brother Davis. Brother Davis, I'm sure you probably heard of the term neocon, right? Or neoliberal.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're both, in the same club. You've heard of John Bolton, right?
Yes.
John Bolton is who's running this right now. And, I've heard people on the program say, they, and when I say they, I'm talking about the shadow government, the think tanks, the right government policy as unelected officials, but they writing laws and writing policy and dictating policy along with the corporations, but they plan things out decades. If they plan Syria, the axis of evil. How long ago was that when George Bush gave that speech? How long ago was that?
Right.
What? Almost 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, 92, 93. The Axis of Evil, the second Bush. Yeah,
that was, yeah, the second Bush.
2001, 2002, brother, I had the wrong Bush.
But it didn't happen during his administration. It happened during Obama's administration. So this is why we can't allow ourselves to get involved in partisan label belonging, put it this way, political gang membership. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm this. I'm that. You're in the gang. That's what you're in. And nationalism, you know, Dave sometimes talks about, you know, they get the people to buy into it. You know, that's why the system keeps perpetrating. That's exactly the case. They're trying to persuade the American public to buy into this as a matter of nationalism. That's why they use words like freedom. We're bringing freedom and democracy to these people. You know, this has gone on consistently. The play ain't even changed, just the players. And then they bring back the old players. John Bolton had been out of government since Bush. Now he's back in government. And now look at how the foreign policy. Trump ain't running nothing, and you know,
no, he's not.
I wouldn't put this on Putin or Russians, because that's what the mainstream media is pushing. No, these are people. There's a global cabal of people. Okay, they have annual meetings every year. Davos, that's one of them. What they was talking about. And they in these think tanks, and you know, they just never stop. And that's why, you know, we can never stop opposing these people.
Hey Dave and Scotty, can I add to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith. And then I want to say something to Brother Davis, because was well said in by all. And go ahead, Keith. How much time? Okay, yeah, go ahead, Keith.
I agree with everything they said. The only thing that I see as completely different now, though, and I agree with, I don't know if you guys watch Rachel Maddow or not, but she has a theory, and her theory goes to show where, if you look at what they're doing, how they're undercutting the pillars of our government, if you will. Now, it's not to take away the fact that everything that you're saying, like the CIA, the FBI, and NSI, all of these organizations have done some corrupt stuff dealing with exactly what you're talking about, how they support these coups in other countries and all that. They've been involved in those things without a doubt. I see the big difference, though, now, though, is you see an actual and aggressive working to undercut those institutions. You see it on the undercutting of the pillars of the United States itself. So it looks like goes back to what Scotty says when you talk about this small group of people that finance both sides of the war, if you will. You know, they've done that, but prior to that, you had a foundation in the United States, a stability in the United States that the kind of...
You mean the people bought... Let me ask for clarification. You mean the people that's bought into the system, like Dave said. They have faith in the FBI, in the CIA, in Congress, in all these different agencies. They look at them as being a force for good and keeping law and order in the United States and what have you. But anybody that's a student of Black history or Native American history or Mexican American history or any non-white people that's been oppressed in this country, you can't have no faith. I don't know where that's got to be, some blind faith right there, because I mean, well, just the other day, this guy on Fox News, a former FBI assistant director, I actually posted an article about it on Black Talk, actually a video, somebody did a video about it. This guy said, this is, and I'm quoting him, this is what he said. He said, when I first came to the FBI, that was in 1979, when I first came to the FBI, our job was to prevent, quote unquote, progressives and leftist people from winning elections, getting into politics, getting into government. Talking about people like Ocasio-Cortez and you know, anybody that the establishment has not ordained as being part of the plan to carry out their long-term plans. So that's an admission right there. Look up the church committee hearings on what the FBI was doing. You know about J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover said they were going to eliminate black leaders and leftist organizations by any means necessary, including assassinations, discrediting them through their agents in the media. All of that is still going on. And so this guy just admitted to after it was the FBI was exposed for the illegal COINTELPRO, here this guy 1979 saying that they still continue to do these things. So how can we have faith in any institution of the United States government?
Well, here's why, Scotty. Here's why. Because, again, what we have to do is we have to always talk about the content in which we're speaking. And the reason why I say that is because you're exactly right. If you're a black, or if you were brown skin, or all those other things, you're exactly right, without a doubt. But we were never on the agenda, on their agenda in the first place. So we're just a very, very lowest level of that. Absolutely, they you know, you can go all the way back when it comes to blacks and Hispanics and all of those, yes. Absolutely. But now what I'm saying is we're going farther past that. That's done with as far as they're concerned. Now they're moving up the scale to include everybody as well, you know, the whole country as a whole. That's, and,
you know, that would be a good thing, Pastor Keith. If you for the spirit of truth, then you will want the masses to recognize the truth that these are corrupt institutions, were founded on corruption. You can't trust anything that they say. You better do your own intelligence gathering and analysis and not listen to Rachel Maddow or anybody else on Fox News, MSNBC. Them people is paid propagandists.
Scotty, I agree with that. What is right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Absolutely, I agree with that. But what I'm just saying is that the difference is that I see as to what's taking place overall as a whole. And those things are going to affect us overall as a whole. You know, that's all I'm saying. I agree with you. What's right is right. You know, like Reverend Wright said with Obama, he says, who are they? The chickens, the pigeons? They're coming home to roost. You know, ultimately, it goes back to the biblical teaching. What you reap, you will sow. And it's about time for us to start sowing. Absolutely.
You know, it's...
But you know
it's,
what? This is really big. I just want to add this before I leave. We fail to realize, history has told us, there is no place for the black man in white America. And they demonstrate that on every occasion. And when they go to their offices of court, they demonstrate it. Oh, time and time again, America was sold out in 1871, called the 1871 Act. These people that are running the country are running the country at its most, shall I say, evil state. And they don't care about nobody, and they're egotists who are greedy. And I'll resend and just listen.
Yeah, you know, let me, because we're getting ready to get out of here. Real quick, very, very important. All the points that's being made are very, very valid and very significant, because one of the things is that the people are never, ever, ever at the table of negotiation. Those celebrity figurehead individuals are like lawyers. They represent a client, and that client that they represent are the overall decision makers as to what happens. And at the table of negotiation, the people are never at the table of negotiation to sit down. The people are on the menu. They are there to be, they are actually, the negotiation table is going to be, who are we going to eat? And that's how this system really, really works. And it works by corruption. And, you know, how Scotty laid it out and was true, that these institutions, they set things up for years. They have a 100-year, 200-year, 300-year plan. But Brother David said something that was very significant that we need to take notice to, and it's very, very true. This shutdown isn't what it appears to be. It has an ulterior motive. And I'm going to tell you, in my overall estimation, what this shutdown is really about is really about the $66 trillion in debt that the overall government of the corporation of the United States is in. Not the system, but the government of the corporation of the United States, because those that control the government of the United States has bankrupted, and they want it to take the fall.
so that their 100-year, 200-year plan of controlling empires, because empires are very easy to topple. When empires fall, the system still remains. That empire is gone. And we look at the empire as being the system, and is not. It's a 100, 200, 300-year plan of control through ownership. They give the overall people ownership of what they control. And the Corporation of the United States is owned by the Corporation of the United States, but it's controlled by a corrupt system to maintain its sovereign, distinctive position of influence and direction by way of having the resources to do it and make everyone else fall in line. Very, 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 very important.
Dave?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I agree. Ultimately, I think what you're talking about is what we already know, Christians especially, ultimately, because ultimately what we're looking at is the fulfillment of prophecy. And what I mean by that is ultimately the prince of this world is Satan. He takes over the world system. That's where you get the whole thing with, guess what? Thou now neither buy nor sell without the mark. So ultimately, it's all leading right down the path to which we already knew this was going, ultimately speaking. I guess the only thing that is striking so much is the fact that we're seem to be at a time like no other in which we can look and see this coming to fruition in front of our very eyes.
Yeah, I definitely say, and let me end out with this. This is how, why this is significant. This can actually spur into a direct military confrontation between Russia and China and the U.S. closer than Djibouti, then in Syria, then in Europe. You see how this war is expanding now? It's now in the backyard of continental United States in South America. And it's going to go from South America to Central America to the Caribbean to continental United States. This is the evolution of it. This is how it's evolving. This is what's taking place. And what's the speed and veracity of that? I don't know. But I do know we're closer to it today than we were yesterday. And we need to prepare today. We need to prepare now, today, and tomorrow for those advent events to happen, because this is a death trap that the U.S. has fell in, and it can't get out now. Every empire falls. Here it comes. So, listen, everyone, I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.